This.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
But I'll probably hate it.
Hour 3 here in our brand new Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester at Beasley Communications. Beautiful, beautiful spot. If you're watching on the simulcast, which has followed us here at NBC Sports Boston, you're seeing our new digs. If you're listening, it sounds no different, so you don't give a rat's ass. But we're somewhere new, and it's pretty, and it's perfect, and it looks great and feels great and all that. We have Marshall Hook in for Tony Maserati. We have Matt McCarthy in our update studio. We've been mostly Red Sox, slipped in a little soccer there. If you want to weigh in on that, you can. And we'll go right back to the phones, which have been a little bit of an adventure today, so just bear with us. If we have a technical snafu or two. Tony and Shirley joins us next. Line 2, Jimmy, if you could pop him up on the Red Sox. Tony, what do you got for
Michael,
us?
Michael, you hear me all right?
Yeah, what do you got?
Michael, listen, we had a good time. Now, just give me, I'm always quick. Listen, remember last year they said they burnt them out. What's his name, the lefty there?
Chris Sale.
I'm sorry, I lost my thought. But anyways, they burnt them out. Now, listen, let him pitch three pitches for him, get out of one inning. That what? It'll give him about 11 or 12 days off total if you really think about it. Now, you're going to think I'm crazy. Just hear me and I'm done. I think they should watch the weather if Wright keeps his hands down. You know what I mean? I think they will should pitch him fourth or fifth if the wind's blowing, especially at Fenway. He's tough to hit. Even Wakefield said it. Tony from Shirley out.
Okay, Tony. I'm not sure exactly what you were saying there with Stephen Wright.
I think he says if it's a windy day, you pitch Stephen Wright. I think that's okay. I mean, hey, listen, because if that's Chris your Sale approach in the postseason, you're great.
Chris Sale in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
I don't love Chris Sale in the All-Star game.
Who likes it? I mean, from here.
Yeah. I do.
You do?
I do because it's good for baseball. Baseball needs this.
So what? We're saving the world now.
Yeah. Baseball needs this. Baseball needs the All-Star game. They need the star power.
They need
power.
Chris Sale?
They need Chris. He's the best pitcher in the American League, or one of the top two. Baseball needs the All-Star game, perhaps now more than ever. Mike, they haven't branded a star or branded a prominent sports figure since Griffey when I was a kid. Baseball needs something like this. Like, if Chris Sale goes out there tomorrow and delivers a Pedro Martinez-style performance, doesn't that help the game?
I suppose. I don't know. I feel like there was a time... I just feel it's antiquated, McCarthy. I told you this before. The sport used to need this game because we didn't see everybody every night. We didn't have game. Every game wasn't televised. There was no interleague play. So you never got to see the stars in the National League and the National League fans vice versa. And so you needed that showcase. Now we see everybody every season, every night on the highlights. Interleague play is there. We play every team in every building. So that, like, I just don't know why they do All-Star games anymore, period.
And I'd further say that if Chris Sale went out and did what Pedro Martinez did, it still wouldn't be what Pedro Martinez
That's
did.
True.
Because Pedro Martinez was a personality, right? Yeah. And the guys he was striking out, and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, they were personalities. One of the biggest, most fundamental things missing from baseball right now is any personality anywhere in the sport. I mean, like, we're being told that Bryce Harper is some sort of interesting fella that we're supposed to get behind. He's got a beard and is kind of a jerk. Like, if you're going to be that, be a jerk. Like, be full-on Barry Bonds at that point. Be Albert Bell. If you're going to be whatever, be it. Like, Mike Trout, do you know anything about Mike Trout? Anything at all?
Nothing.
A single thing about Mike Trout. Is he married?
Now
I have no idea.
Do I want to know?
Where is he from?
No, I don't care to know.
No idea. He has zero personality.
I know.
He is putting together a truly historical season of offensive baseball, and nobody cares or knows because he's Mike Trout. He's a big scoop of vanilla ice cream.
Let's grab Justin. He's stationed over in Afghanistan. He joins us now on Felger and Maz. How you doing, Justin?
What's going on, guys?
Thanks for checking in. Thanks for your service. What do you got for us, Justin?
I'm actually not in the military. I'm over here as a government contractor building some of these.
Okay, well then, thanks for calling us from Afghanistan. What do you got?
Thanks. So, you know, I think the whole concept that we're talking about, you know, when we're discussing, you know, these All-Star games and stuff is because you're expected to see people at their best. But, you know, you're not going to see people going out there putting their body in the way of stuff, you know, because of the fact they don't want to get injured. I mean, this is a game that's essentially meaningless to a lot of different people. So, you know, when we're playing video games and you go ahead and you're like, we want to pick the all-star game because you want to see the best players. I mean, we're diving people into each other. Because we have no, you know, repercussion of consequence. When you start talking about the consequences, you guys start talking about how people can get injured, they can get whatever. That just ends up being a horror story if that would end up being the case.
No question, so, Justin.
The whole concept, you know, the whole concept of all-star games goes out the window when you start thinking about how people are protecting themselves. I mean, I know we're talking about baseball
well,
here.
Let me just stop you there, Justin. Thank you for the call. Again, I appreciate you checking in all the way from where you're at. Don't you feel in a previous generation or generations, maybe you have to go back a little bit more, the players cared and they actually cared if they won or lost the game? Now these mm-hmm. guys have their private jets warming for the third inning for when they get out so they can go home. They don't care. They don't. So what? Why do we bother with this game when you don't want your best player on your favorite team to play it?
If he's a pitcher.
The players don't care about it. There is no, you know, the days of Pete Rose running into people, you know, for a run are over. The days of the novelty of seeing a National League player, an American League player, or these guys playing together are over. It's just over. To me, it doesn't serve any purpose, and I don't know if the showcase is big enough, McCarthy. I don't know. I don't feel like, I don't know. I think baseball fans tune into baseball. I don't think they draw anyone outside the sport who's not there.
Yeah, you might be right about that. I would just say that this is baseball's opportunity, and you got to start somewhere. Like, sure, I mean, you know, we don't have the stars that baseball had 20 years ago. You got to start somewhere, though. I watched last year's All-Star game for the first time in a while. I liked the product. I liked what I saw. They were interviewing players. I'm like, man, you know, I didn't know that about George Springer. I thought they kind of took a step in the right direction last year. I'm interested in tomorrow night.
And I would say for whatever issues it has, it's better than nothing whatsoever, which 100%. Is what you're advocating.
Yes. I
guarantee that you're not going to get new fans by shutting down the sport for 4 days.
Well, to me, they should abolish it altogether and, you know, no days off. I you need a break.
Okay, Bill Belichick.
You have six.
No days off.
Yeah, you have a six.
No, Bill takes all days off now.
You have a 6-month off season. There should be no days off. We give individual teams some bye weeks or, you know, something like that. Yeah. There should be
sounds
no
like
break.
Great plan.
I think there
terrific
should be no break, period.
Yeah.
But what point, you love the game, yet you don't want your best player on your favorite team to play in it. That
you,
makes
you,
a lot
you
of sense.
You keep harping on this one fact. That is a very
yeah,
specific
a
situation.
Fact. It's the fact.
Okay. Is JD Martinez a worthwhile player? Because I want him playing.
Do you want him in the home run derby?
Yeah, absolutely.
You do? You do.
Sure.
No, in the back of your mind, you're worried about him, a bad habit, him trying to yank everything. And
Adrian
coming out
Gonzalez,
of that thing.
Exhibit A.
Exactly right.
Oh, that guy sucked.
Here's let's try Howard on line three there. Jimmy, I think on the soccer conversation. Go ahead, Howard. You're up next with Felger and Hook.
Hey, Mike. Hi, Michael. Hi, Hook. Hi, McCarthy. You guys are doing a good job, and your studios look beautiful. Michael, thank you, because a few weeks I tried to call and talk about this, but I know it wasn't the right time. I think you're right. The replay in soccer, it played a great part, and it was very short most of the time. I watched all the games in the World Cup, and I'll tell you, that was the beautiful thing about it compared to the other sports where they stand around and ask each other how their wives are and everything all day. But the first goal that France scored, I know they couldn't replay it, but that really sucked because the guy – didn't touch him. And they scored on that set piece. And that was the one that really got me. The handball, you know, it's neither here nor there. It depends on how you look at it. And Hook, I'm with you. I played soccer growing up, but I'm a hockey fan bigger because that's what I played mostly as a kid.
Well, so the handball to me isn't so much a replay thing, I guess, is just really, you're just going to hand them a goal for that when they weren't going to score on the play, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why I go back to with the pass interference. It's like, well, he wasn't going to catch it either way. There was only a 10% chance he was going to haul that ball down, yet you're going to spot the ball 35 yards down the field and just give him 7 points. I mean, that's why we hate instant pass interference in football. It's just too punitive. Then that's nothing compared to what you have there, this thing yesterday. Like, that's like handing someone a game in a sport where there's only 3 goals scored a game at most. I know there were more yesterday, but generally speaking, 1 goal in that sport is everything. So you're going to hand him the world championship when that ball really had no chance of going in the first place. Mike and Woburn, what do you think?
You know, just echoing that last five for that first set piece, it's so bad. Like, they need to do something. Like, replay, how is that not replayed? And how is that not immediately a yellow card? Or even, you know, a yellow, like, they have the yellow shirt in you know, the Tour de France. They should have the yellow shirt of cowardice. Put on the yellow shirt. I mean, it might not affect the French because they already have a goddamn chicken on their uniforms. So, but at least try to shame these guys into saying, you know what, we're not going to let you fall to the ground like you've just been assassinated and reward you for it. But it's one of the reasons why the World Cup final is, you know, neck and neck with golf, one of the worst sports to watch on TV in terms of ratings. Mikey, you want to watch something you like? The Rugby World Cup is out in San Francisco for sevens this week.
Mike, thank you very much for the call. I'm going to let you do that on your own time. Rugby is zero chance. And the Masters is a very highly rated sporting event. You're treating it like the Masters isn't highly rated. The Masters is a highly rated sporting event, and the World Cup matched it without one, you know, sort of domestic local interest involved. So, bad example. Do your rugby on your own time. But the whole VAR thing to clean up the sport, how easy would it be?
So easy.
Oh, my God, because it's so glaring on these replays that, and if I were the refs in FIFA or in soccer, I'd be demanding it. I'm like, we now have a tool to clean up this entire nonsense. One of the worst parts of the entire sport. It's right there at our fingertips. Easy. That's what they should be doing. No question about it.
You don't even have to do it during the game. You can issue yellow cards after the game. They accumulate. Boom. Problem solved. You don't even have to stop the actual on-field product. It would be so easy. But you know what the problem is? In some countries, you fooled the ref. Bravo. Like, it's an accepted part of the culture. It's not a part of the culture here. We think it's crap. In some other countries, they're like, man, great job. Griezmann, great job. Got us a goal.
We continue with your thoughts on Felger and Maz with Hook and McCarthy sitting in.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
The payoff pitch. He struck him out. 97 right down the chute. And the Red Sox win again. 5-2 the final. They go into the All-Star break with a record of 68-30. Remarkable stuff. And it's the first time the Red Sox go into the break with the best record in Major League Baseball since 2007.
Back to the program. Felger, Maz, Hook, and Matt McCarthy in for Maz and Big Jim Murray. Mostly Red Sox today. Flying into the All-Star break. What a great first half for this team. What a great first half. Would you acknowledge that, Hook?
Oh, I very much acknowledge it. Absolutely.
What does it mean?
That's a big question.
What does it mean?
Not a whole lot.
You don't think it means a lot?
I think it means that they'll get into the playoffs again.
And
certainly.
So can I sum up your belief, your feelings by saying
I don't know that I'll trust you to sum them up correctly, but go ahead.
Let me know how I do. Fundamentally speaking, they're not much different than they were the last couple of years.
Not where it matters, no.
Which is where? What does that mean?
The starting pitching and relief core. It's all exactly the same guys. Literally. I mean, is there a single new arm in there? Well, we have Tyler Thornburg. I guess he didn't pitch last year. But it's all exactly the same guys.
It is.
There's not a single free agent signing or trade in there that I can think of. Maybe there is, like, the 25th guy. But
okay, so then you believe that past results are indicative of what future results are going to be.
With the exception of Chris Sale. I have confidence that Chris Sale will do better in the postseason this season than he did last year. I have zero confidence in David Price, though I now add this addendum. He did pitch well last year because he was a reliever in the postseason. But I don't think they're going to do that this year, so let's refer to 2016 David Price.
You'd feel better if David Price were in the bullpen.
Absolutely.
I see. I think he should be starting. I've told you this a million times, but all that being said, I kind of agree with that. Like, I like David Price better, McCarthy. Mm-hmm. Eighth inning, two runners on, him coming out of the bullpen, than I do number two starter, 10 days to think about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I just think there's less time for him to get inside his own head when he's out there in the bullpen. Okay. But I'm not telling you to put him there. I'm not telling you because he's your second best starter. He's paid to be one of your best starters. He's a Cy Young guy with a Cy Young salary and a Cy Young arm. So he's out there because if he hits his ceiling, that's when you're at the best. So you just put these guys in a position to, if they hit their ceiling, that's where you're at your best.
Okay. He's never going to hit that ceiling. He's going to be sitting squat down in the basement. That's where he's going to be.
Okay, so
as soon as the calendar turns to October,
this team's no different.
He's none of those things.
You think this team's no different?
I think that the team is no different in the postseason. Where again, they're winning this year. They're doing it terrifically during the regular season. They're doing it on the offensive side, where they added an enormous piece in JD Martinez, who I was absolutely incorrect about. Couldn't have been more wrong. I had no interest in JD Martinez. I'll say this, because I know that the guy who normally sits in my seat will tell you, all right, well, you know, maybe, but still, talk to me when the contract... No. If he continues in the second half what he's done this first half, then the whole contract's fine by me.
Okay, so you're saying
all 5 years are fine by me.
JD Martinez has made them different. Alex Cora has made them different. You've acknowledged that today as well, but that's not enough to get them a...
No.
It's not enough to get them around.
Not, no, 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 no. Not as long as that starting staff is what it is.
McCarthy, do you concur?
I do.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's Mike, so how can you overlook...
tell me where we're wrong. Tell me, give me one statistic, give me one sign of anything that tells you that this starting staff outside of Chris Sale is any different than it was last year.
I mean, it's not, but... I can tell you this, that Porcello, if you give him enough chances, he will succeed because he's a good pitcher.
You sure about that?
And Price, I'm just talking generically. This is my first stab at this, because I'm trying to answer your question. I mean, you're right, that there is no difference between these guys that have, the staffs are the same, that have failed in the past. Does that mean they're going to fail every time if they're talented?
And again,
because David Price is talented, and Rick Porcello is talented. I can't tell you about Joe Kelly and Hembree and guys like this. So they're not. That, to me, is their fatal flaw. To me, the seventh and eighth inning, and especially when you look at how recent World Series teams have been built with those great bullpens and multiple guys out there, and you know, sometimes those secret weapon guys that can go 2-3 innings, like that's what the Red Sox lack. The starting pitching, I think the talent's there. If they just put it together, they have the talent in the starting
staff. You know
where
they can find that guy who goes 2-3 innings?
No.
David Price.
Well, there you go. But McCarthy, you agree with these guys.
I agree, but overall, but I disagree about putting David Price in the bullpen.
Just don't want him to pitch at all.
David Price was a glorified long man last year. He came in two games where they were desperately trying to save their season. Like, they were about to get swept. You put David Price in what the scenario you mentioned, Mike. Two runners on, eighth inning. You think David Price, of all people, can handle that? You know what will happen?
I sort of like it more than I do him with 10 days to think about a playoff start.
I don't like it in any way you slice it. And that's the problem. If you had John Lester on this team instead of David Price, guarantee you everybody feels differently. I do.
Jimmy Stewart?
Good, you?
this
team.
How do you feel about this Red Sox team?
Nice regular season, fun season. They might win 110 games. Postseason, one and done. Yankees are better. Houston is better. And the Indians are better because they have postseason pedigree that you, the Red Sox, don't have.
See, he's even worse than me because I'm giving Chris Sale credit that he doesn't necessarily deserve.
He doesn't.
So
how many wins
he
in the playoffs
will do well in the postseason?
Okay, but listen. So and Mookie Betts doesn't have postseason pedigree either. How do you feel about him in a big at bat in October?
He'll strike out against Chapman.
So you've got to feel good about guys who are talented. I'm not the biggest Craig Kimbrel guy, but
these other three teams that I just listed have more talent and more postseason talent. They've beaten you the last 2 years in the postseason. Yes or no?
Yes. But does that mean it's going to happen?
Scoreboard, Michael.
Does Cleveland really have more talent than you?
No.
Yes.
No.
They do.
They don't.
Well, they at least have a postseason pedigree that you don't.
Okay. They do, but they're not more talented than you.
You know what? Kansas City has a postseason pedigree. I don't think
exactly. Not this year's Kansas City Royals.
Exactly. Houston and New York. I mean, see, I think you're right there. I just don't want to predict it. Like you guys seem to be, but yeah, they're done. Like, I just think that's silly. Can I wait to see what that looks like when we get there in October?
I call it having an opinion.
But I think the talent is, I think his predictions aren't opinions. That's, we've been over this before. A prediction is not an opinion. It's just a prediction. And they mean nothing by the time we get to the actual game.
We're doing a talk show here.
So yeah. Talent for talent. You don't think the Red Sox are right there with Houston and New York?
They're beneath both.
I think they're right there. I think you can parse it.
Oh, good. Just, you know what? Pull up the Houston Astros starting rotation.
Look game one, Verlander or Sale?
Verlander.
Sale. Verlander.
Wash.
Postseason.
Wash.
Who's won in the postseason? Verlander has. Sale hasn't.
And what had Verlander done in the postseason before last year?
But hold on. Don't even get mired in this.
Look this up.
Verlander had struggled in the postseason.
Thank you.
Before last year. Give me game two.
So wait a minute. So this is exactly what I'm talking about. So just because Verlander had failed in the previous postseasons, you're supposed to look at him going into last year saying, well, they're not going to get it done. This guy's never gotten it done. Or do you look at the talent and say, ultimately, ultimately, when you're good, ultimately, when you're talented, you come through in that spot. You don't fail every time. And ultimately, you figure it out, and you have your year. Every dog has his day, Hook, as we like to say.
Yeah, Verlander David Price is a perfect example. A 25-year-old dog at this point. He doesn't have any days left. He's done. So please, who is game two in the Astros versus the Red Sox?
Is it still Keuchel?
Probably Cole, the way he's pitched this year.
Oh, look, we have multiple ace-level pitchers to choose from in the Astros.
And you have three guys who've won the Cy. You have three Cy Young guys at the top of the rotation.
What? Nolan Ryan won a Cy. How would you feel if you trotted his ass out onto the mound?
I'd always feel good.
Okay.
I mean, not right this second.
No, okay.
And so you've got three Cy Young guys at the top of your rotation, too.
All right.
I think your guys haven't come through in the postseason.
That's an understatement.
No question about it. And the Yankees just did last year, and Houston's got a World Series championship and all that. I got it.
So who are you picking in Keuchel versus Price?
Talent for talent, you're right there. I'm not predicting 3 months before the game.
I think that's silly.
You know
what? They're going up against each other in a week. Who are you picking then?
I'll go Price right now.
Okay, great. Well, then you're stupid.
By the way, Justin Verlander, before this postseason run last year, 16 games started, 7 wins. Chris Sale, how many wins does he have in the postseason?
He's had one start.
16 starts. Mixed bag.
I think that's unfair.
I got to tell you, planting
Jimmy.
Your flag wins. And Chris Sale is ignoring the real problem. Chris Sale is not your problem.
Exactly.
That's true.
Oh, so we agree on something. Isn't that nice? Here's an update from McCarthy, then to your phones, I promise.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Every afternoon, Felger and Maz bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, right to your phones. As promised, Stephen Taunton on Alex Cora. Go ahead, Steve. What do you got?
Hey, boys. What's going on? I called earlier, Mike, beginning of the year when the Red Sox went 17-2, about credit for Alex Cora. 2 months later, out of 38 games over 500, I still make my case. The man has done a phenomenal job. And I don't know why we are looking into the past 2 years, because those years were under John Farrell. This is a new year. The guys are different. The guys' approach are different. I think that they're going to make a difference. I do see them going past several series.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Look, let me ask you, if you acknowledge that the manager's made a difference, why can't he make a difference in October?
How has he changed David Price? David Price is exactly the same whiny, mopey, not taking responsibility for anything that he does.
I'd love to argue with you, but that's an excellent retort. It's perfect. David Price is no different. He's exactly the same.
He's 100% the same.
Outside of him, who's unreachable, David Price is his own planet. If Cora has affected everybody else, why can't he affect everybody else when it matters in October?
Because I mean, first of all, I'm giving credit for Chris Sale being better. And now we're to David Price, who we both agree is no worse. So we're halfway through your postseason rotation already. Then health becomes a big factor with Eduardo Rodriguez or Drew Pomerantz or whoever. That entire group of fifth starters, their problem isn't their attitude. Their problem isn't, you know, their mindset. And problem doesn't come from the manager. It's that they're a bunch of fifth and sixth level starters. And so all that leaves us with is Rick Porcello. Is Rick Porcello better under Alex Cora? Well, he started out looking pretty good.
He's got a 4-1-3.
But
same
now
guy.
He's reverting.
Same guy.
And he's giving up home runs. I don't care who's in the dugout. I don't care if you dig up Casey Stengel and sit his old dead ass in the dugout. That's not going to make Rick Porcello keep the ball in the yard.
Matt and Quincy on Mookie Betts. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. All right. So I've heard this from a few people, and including
McCarthy. Matt McCarthy. He's a nice guy.
Oh, no, sorry, not McCarthy.
Just go ahead. What's your point?
Betts and Trout. I've heard people say Trout, that's a historical season or whatever. Mike Trout has played 20 more games than Betts. He's got 100 points less in slugging, 2 more home runs, less RBIs, less stolen bases. I don't understand what people keep saying that Mike Trout is having this like ridiculous season. When Mookie Betts is doing it all leading off, Trout's batting third. The only other person that you can maybe put in the MVP category is J.D. Martinez. But J.D. Martinez is also driving in guys like Betts, Benintendi, whereas Betts is driving in guys like, Jackie Bradley Jr., Sandy Leone. I mean, it's an absolute joke that people keep talking about Trout in the MVP race when he's getting blown away by a guy who's Betts leadoff and has played 20 less games.
Fair enough. I mean, I don't care who wins the MVP.
No, that was not a thing I was planting my flag in the grand scheme of things.
But either way, how much better off is baseball if Mookie Betts is more of a standard bearer kind of superstar than Mike Trout? Mike Trout is zero needle moving. He's a flatline zero, 0.0. Mm-hmm. At least Mookie Betts off the field. I don't know what he really offers you there in terms of pizzazz, but on the field, a far more interesting player.
I don't know that he is all that much more interesting. I think he's got an interesting name, so people think that, you know, Mike Trout, boring name. Mookie Betts, interesting name. Ah, Mookie, that sounds like a baseball player. But really, what does he do that gives him any more personality than Mike Trout? His reaction
to his home run, I've never seen from Mike Trout. Mm-hmm. Even the little thing, remember when he was mic'd up in spring training and he was talking to the guys in the booth? He was in the outfield. They mic'd him up in the outfield. He's, oh, boys, I'm not going to get that one. Like, even a simple, tiny little thing like that, that you just see there's more of a... It's a little more there to Mookie Betts than Mike Trout.
I'm sorry.
I find Mookie Betts more entertaining or a little more interesting, at least, than Mike Trout.
If we're comparing these players to where we were 10 years ago, then yes, Mike Trout is a 1 and Mookie Betts is a 2. And the rest of those guys are like 90s on a scale of 100. So it's a very relative, incremental improvement of personality over Mike Trout.
That's all we're looking
for. But they're still devoid, mostly, of personality across the entire sport, which is ultimately fine. I mean, whatever. They're good players, which is what you want more than personality. I don't need Johnny Gomes back here. That guy was all personality, and he sucked. Like, so I'll take the flip side of that. I'll take the guy who's just tremendous, tremendous talent like Mookie Betts, who doesn't give a good soundbite and doesn't have much to say. I'll take that every time out of every time. But I'd like a little bit of both.
I'd almost like Mookie Betts to put, and usually I don't ask for this. Usually I hate these guys that bitch about their contract. So I don't know. I don't even know why I'm saying this, but I think maybe baseball needs it or the Red Sox need it. I'd almost like Mookie Betts to be vocal about the way he treats the Red Sox at the negotiating table. He's a hard ass. He is not. Mm-hmm. He has not agreed to one deal with this team. He's not taking the cheese. He's not taking their money. They took him to arbitration, for God's sakes. They had to give him... Well, I mean, you know how it works, McCarthy. It's not even like they settled at arbitration. He just wound up taking the qualifying offer, whatever, what the minimum offer was, because they can't even come to terms on that. So you know he's got certain feelings about what he's worth and what the team's been offering him. What if he put a voice to that? Like, we'd both hate it, but I think they need it, if that makes any sense to you.
He should. He absolutely should. The Red Sox have been screwing around with this guy. Your franchise player in Mookie Betts. Why is he not signed to a long-term deal? Why has he not been given a blank check? They're the Red Sox. Money isn't an issue, or money shouldn't be an issue. You're going to let Mookie Betts go through 2 more years of arbitration while he's doing this and then hit the market? I'm sorry, lock this guy up now. This is a problem now, not later. Now.
Maybe Mookie Betts doesn't want to be here.
If you give him enough money, I guarantee you he'd stay here. If you give him what Machado gets this offseason, he would stay.
Jimmy said that a certain way. What, Jimmy, what do you...
No, I don't know anything. I just know there's a trend, and they throw money at him, and he hasn't signed.
So this is that he has not, you know, in a manner of speaking, agreed to a single deal with the Red Sox.
Correct. It's all arbitration.
At every step, it's been just, a qualifying or minimum
contract
level.
Contract renewal.
You know, yeah, exactly. Those sort of numbers. They've never agreed on a single... Even these little intermediate one-year... sort of bridge things to get you to create. They haven't agreed on a single thing. So, I mean, it's a good thing that he doesn't bitch about his contract. Like, that's what I want everyone to do, just shut up and play.
But he's not exactly showing his commitment to be a Boston Red Sox.
They haven't shown enough of a commitment to him. They haven't paid him what he's worth.
I'm just in terms of you being relatable or interesting or a personality. If he did talk it, I think we'd know a little bit more who he is. You know what I'm trying to say, right? A couple quick World Cup calls. We hit on this earlier with Andrew in Burlington's been waiting. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, Felger. Thanks for taking my call. I got to tell you, there are two things out of this World Cup that I want to bring into the other sports. Number one, I thought Stu Holden was absolutely fantastic. Like, I don't know. I mean, I watch a lot of soccer. I get to tell you, he's the best color commentator I have heard in quite some time. And that's in any sport. He used to play, but you wouldn't know it. But anytime a play happened, he would explain why it happened, why it went wrong, and what I would need to look for. And we moved on to the next play. I thought he was great. And number two, we lived without a sideline reporter. Like, we were actually able to watch a game without learning about Paul Pogba's favorite app or what dance he likes to do. That was all on the pregame show. They saved that stuff for the pregame show, and we were able to just enjoy the game in peace.
Love it. The telecasts to me are just a pleasure. Mm-hmm. They're just, honestly, I know it sounds sort of weird way to phrase it, but they're just they're just a pleasure to have on. They're very unintrusive, as he said. No sideline reporters, no garbage on the TV screen. And that's something I would love to see our domestic leagues learn from. And not that they do this in the World Cup, but there's more value in advertising in-game anyway. So let them put logos on their jersey. Let them advertise on the side of the field. Take away TV commercials and put all those ads in the game. And you'll make more money at the end of the day anyway. Those are more valuable ads anyway. There is something to the continuous flow and just the way soccer is presented that I find very appealing. Here's RJ in New Hampshire. Go ahead, RJ.
Yeah, hey, Felger. In regards to you saying like they shouldn't have given a penalty kick to France because there was no France guy, you know, in position to
score. Yeah, I don't think it would have been a goal.
It doesn't matter. A handball in the box is a handball in the box. That's a penalty kick.
I know. I mean, right. I mean, my problem is more with the rule than with the call. It's like, yeah, if you armbar a guy in the end zone, that's technically pass interference. So put the ball at the 1 yard line and just hand him 7 points. You like that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it was a catchable ball, yeah. I mean, at least in football, you have an uncatchable ball, and then you know.
Okay, so to me, that was the equivalent of the uncatchable ball that wasn't being scored. They weren't going to score on that play.
Doesn't matter. It's a handball.
Well, so wait a minute. No. You just said the rule.
So we have to go by the rule.
You know, you just said at least football has an uncatchable ball. To me, that was an uncatchable ball. They weren't going to score on that. If the guy stuck his hand out or it hit his hand and it had gone through, they weren't scoring. Maybe a 2% chance they score on that.
By the way, I think that guy, and maybe I'm wrong, is representative of why people hate soccer. Because he's like a soccer truther or soccer defender. Like, you can't criticize even something like that. That is obviously something that can be improved. Oh. You know, don't come on. That's the rule. That's the rule. And you don't understand soccer if you don't understand that's the rule.
I think it's true. Part of the reason people hate soccer is soccer fans.
It's the same reason people hate vegans. They can't stop telling you about
it. So true. Oh, my God. Shut up with your veganism.
Yes. Please. You love soccer. That's great.
Thank you.
You're a vegan. That's great. You don't need. It's not a religion. It's a thing you like.
All right, it's one of your few good points today, Hook. Long commercial free segment is next.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're back to the phones. As promised, Rusty is in Vermont. He joins us next. Hi, Rusty.
How you doing, Mike and boys? Listen, very lively show today. A lot of fun, actually. Listen, I'm here to fix baseball. Oh. I'm 64 years old. I love the game. I probably watch 100-plus games a year. Doesn't matter. I'm not their long-term audience. 2.5 hours is the magic number. The only way you get into that number, Mike, you just said it a few minutes ago on the soccer call, figure out where you're going to get your money from. It's not going to be having like 3 minutes of commercial in between innings and all that other stuff. Dual game action, commercials at the same time. I don't care if they make these guys have 50 things on their uniform that they make money off of. Agreed. Get the game under 2.5 hours. Make the game normal. And the only way, it's not pitch clocks. It's not all that other BS, right? That saves seconds, not minutes. We need 30 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Rusty. I'm sorry to cut you off there. I mean, that's just, I don't know who doesn't agree with that. I mean, the most ardent baseball people know the whole thing has to speed up. You know, you heard from the, baseball purists. Well, then, you know, if you don't like these baseball games, you must not like baseball.
That's not true.
Right. It's not true at all. It's just not the sport I grew up with. The sport I grew up with was done in 2:30. Now it's a 3:30 game.
And the thing is, and
there's never been fewer balls in play. There's never been less contact. There's never been more strikeouts, more home runs. The games have never taken longer. It's a different game. There's never been more shifts. It's a different game. So for the purist, I'd say, well, let's go back to the game let's be purist, shall we? And if you get me back to the game that it was when we were kids, that's a more appealing product. I don't know if it's ever going to get there, but
no, there's no way to fix it. There really isn't. Because it's the way the players play. It's the David Prices of the world who take X amount of time between pitches. And the stuff that Major League Baseball has come up with, the, you know, automatic intentional walk and the rules and extra innings, that's not fixing anything. That's not doing anything.
Here's Jack in the car. What do you got for me, Jack?
Yeah, Felger, I want to talk about that Red Sox-Yankees potential playoff matchup, because in all likelihood, if it ended today, that's what it would be.
Yep.
I want to go position by position, right, because the Yankees murder his lineup. And I want you to tell me where I'm definitely blasphemously wrong. All right, Betts versus Judge and Wright. Betts is better. Center field, I mean, they could have a cone playing center, and he's better than Jackie, so that's them. Benintendi, and who's their everyday left fielder? Gardner? That's Benintendi every day. We'll go to DH, Martinez and Stanton. That's Martinez. Third base, Andujar and Devers. I mean, Andujar probably, but it's not that bad. Xander and Didi, I like Xander better. And second base, regardless of who's playing there for the Red Sox, again, it's probably the Yankees and Torres. And then first base, I mean, who's their first baseman? Bird? I mean, I'm not the biggest Moreland guy, but I like him there anyway. Their pitching staff's not much better than ours.
Yeah.
And I'll hear you guys talk about it.
All right, so I don't know if you just proved your point. I think you just called up to tell you how many matchups the Red Sox win in that one. I'm not sure how many check marks I gave him right there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's nearly as good as he thinks it is.
And, Severino, Tanaka, yeah. Sabathia, is that what it is? Or is there someone else in
Sonny
there?
Yeah,
or
Sonny Gray. Yeah, Sonny Gray, give me a break.
No?
No,
Sonny year?
Gray has been awful this year. I'm just telling you, but who are you comparing him to on the Red Sox side?
The Red Sox starting pitching is better than the Yankees starting pitching. The Yankees bullpen is better than the Red Sox bullpen. Yeah. That's why the Red Sox will win this division, because starting pitching carries you more in the regular season. If the Red Sox and Yankees match up in the postseason, you have to kind of side with the Yankees because the bullpen means more.
I don't know.
At that point,
Severino's been the better statistical pitcher than Chris Sale.
Sale's
so
right
far
up there.
Okay.
They're a wash.
That's fine.
Okay, but hold on.
And Tanaka versus...
Who do you trust more in a big game?
Severino was awful last year. Awful in the playoffs. I trust Tanaka and Sabathia more than anybody else
in
the Red Sox.
So don't
bring Severino into that discussion.
If we're just going back and do it on past results, it's like, I mean, I don't know. At some point, you have to handicap the actual talent on the field and not just about who has the better postseason numbers. Because again, if you're just doing that, then Verlander wouldn't have done squat last year. Or John Lackey wouldn't have done squat for you in 2013, et cetera, et cetera.
John Lackey won a World Series with the Angels, Mike.
Yeah, Lackey was a big game pitcher
right,
before he got
but
here.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Would you not let facts get in the way of a take right there?
Sorry.
No, but the bullpen, that you will get no argument from me on the bullpen. None. Zero. The Yankees have more of a playoff-constructed kind of bullpen than you do. No question about it. And the big thing for me is the Red Sox, I don't know how they get better, because I don't know what they have to deal. Stephen Carver has a thought on Major League Baseball. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, guys, the All-Star game means a lot different if you're a fan of a small market team. I'm a fan of the Oakland A's, a small market team, and the All-Star game for me means a lot because I get to see my one or two players representing my team in a big game. And when you guys are Red Sox fans, I know, Felger, you're a Brewers fan, but Red Sox fans get blessed with 5-6 guys every year, so it kind of takes away that luster. And one real quick second point is Eddie Rodriguez is hurt, and I don't think people are making a big enough deal of this. Cora said it's pretty bad, and this guy does not come back from injuries well. I really don't think that we're going to see him until the playoffs at earliest. He could be out for the rest of the season.
Oh, no, no, no. Eddie Rodriguez is a big one. Eddie Rodriguez is a big one, right, Hook?
That guy just made all of my points for me. I'm the one who earlier said it's a different thing if you're a small market or a bad team. I'm also the one that says Eddie Rodriguez, we may not see that guy pitch again until 2020. That is the biggest thing. I mean, this headed into the All-Star break changes for me the complexion of not only the second half, what you need to do with the trade deadline, and whatever chances I gave them in the postseason are that much worse for his injury.
So to me, the whole starting pitching is something that I raised earlier today that I think is getting swept under the rug a little bit. You haven't pitched all that great. And one of the guys that has, Eddie Rodriguez, is, as we just mentioned, hurt and has a horrible track record coming back from injury. Usually takes longer than they say. He doesn't look right when he does come back. Does he battle through it, et cetera, et cetera. So Eddie Rodriguez is done, or down, as I meant to say. Rick Porcello, his last four games, has given up 8, 3, 2, and 4 earned runs. That is 17 earned runs in the last 20 and two-thirds innings pitched. His ERA over that span is 7.40. 6 home runs in his last 20 and two-thirds innings pitched. So he got his teeth kicked in this last game against Toronto. But even before that, that wasn't so hot. And so now Porcello is not looking great. Eddie Rodriguez is hurt. Price had sucked up until this last start. And so you're still winning in spite of it. What are you, 9? If you won like 13 in your last 14 or something like this?
Something.
Since July 1, and again, we don't want to just randomly draw the line where it makes the Red Sox look bad, right?
No,
look, we would never,
you would
do,
never
that.
Do that.
We don't do that. We don't play that game. They're just randomly trying to pick a spot that makes the team look bad. We pick a hard and fast date, the beginning of the month, right?
Sure.
Since the beginning of the month, how has this team pitched? since the beginning of the month, it just turns out that it's 14 games. Their starters' ERA since July 1 is 4.50. So, like, I would say, in another year, I would say that this is going to catch up to them, or it's like they're sort of winning in spite of it, or it's fool's gold hook or something like that.
Yep.
But I think this is a sign. This is one of these numbers that tells me, God, the league is bad. That they could pitch that poorly, McCarthy, and it doesn't matter.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, we talk about the Red Sox having a difference between them and the Yankees in the starting rotation. If the Yankees go out and add a starting pitcher, that changes the complexion of the division heading down the stretch. I know you said that 4.5 games, they're not going to blow that. If the Yankees get a starting pitcher, all of a sudden this is way closer, I guarantee you, with Rodriguez's injury.
So I think the Erod thing is big. And again, Hook, I don't know if you just said it. I was looking up some numbers. That if the playoffs started tonight, Erod would have been your second starter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He has been the most reliable, dependable guy in that rotation after Chris Sale.
All right, so we're talking a lot of Red Sox today. We mixed in a little bit of soccer. If you want to join us on that, you can as well. The All-Star game and your thoughts of it. What else do we got? Get back to the it factor. You know, this team has the it factor. We all sort of agree they have the it factor. But what does that mean? What's that good for? We continue with that discussion and you right after McCarthy's update here. 90 seconds, no commercials. Don't go anywhere.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios. Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston 98.5, the Sports Hub. The Beasley Media Group Station.